This is a
major
You and Baby Chess are wrong.
Yeah, no, I'll have a couple drinks in this and rock out to this in the club.
If you want my future.
Do you know who this is?
Fergie?
What?
It's not Fergie, is it?
No, it's not Fergie.
What about
overseas? You gotta go overseas.
Oh, you gotta go overseas?
Yeah.
It's one of the Spice Girls?
Good call.
Wow, I didn't know that. This is one of the Spice Girls, really? One
this
of them
like
or all
Spice
of them?
Girls song. Just the content. Yes, this is the this one. Give me, and I'm gonna give you who this is. She has a daytime show, Kelly Clarkson.
Oh, Kelly Clarkson.
This song.
Wait, Kelly Clarkson was a Spice Girl?
No, she's not.
Oh, okay.
But I picked this song because you just, the amount of Clay talk this week, this is appropriate for you. I think that I curated this song just for you. And this is a banger.
Oh, this is a banger.
It was cool.
This is a banger.
And it's like a pitch perfect.
Can you sing this song when it comes on?
I try.
Since you've been gone. Fonte sees Buddy Hield out on the court and he's like just closing his eyes, dreaming of Clay.
I see Buddy Hield and I think of Shasky. That who was the guy at the Bruce Mahoney game at Keysar? That means you know who I'm talking about. Because as soon as I walked in the stadium, I'm walking around with Big Dog City, uh-huh, and this guy who's a parent of some kid goes, Fonte, I gotta say, three players better than
one.
It's what they all do, my fans.
Yeah. Since you've been gone.
Since you've been gone.
That song does hit pretty hard. I'm telling you, dude. Kelly Clarkson had, that was a hit.
Kelly Clarkson.
I can recognize
that idol win.
By the way, during the Olympic opening ceremonies, which I thought was awesome in Paris,
uh-huh,
it was, who was it? Mike Tirico. It was, who else? They did a hell of a job. Peyton Manning. And then it was Kelly Clarkson. And for the longest time, I'm like, who is this lady just screaming into the mic? She has, who
she's
is
very
this?
Very popular.
And it's Kelly Clarkson, yeah. She's the first
popular.
Ever American Idol, or was it Ruben Studdard?
No, she was the OG American Idol.
She was the OG. Yeah. She was
probably
the first
most successful
ever.
American Idol woman.
Yeah, no doubt about it. She's paid. She is long, buddy. Long,
do me
buddy.
A favor. I started it yesterday.
Uh-oh.
Great job on Pandora's Box.
Yeah, you did a great job. You won this week.
Did I win?
This week. I started the Diddy documentary.
Yeah, on Hulu.
Well, it's on Max,
Max,
I don't know.
Whatever.
It might be on Hulu, too. I saw it on Max.
Yeah.
Let me just say, wow. The amount of people, when someone has a lot of power, that turn a blind eye, it's sad and it's not surprising because people that accumulate tons and tons of power, they flex it. And so many people feel marginalized and like they're going to be outed. And it's just,
it's
really
sad
how many people this man affected.
Get YouTube back up. They missed the entire Pandora's box. Sorry, YouTube. Somebody just texted. Sorry, YouTube.
Sorry, my bad.
YouTube, you missed the entire Pandora's box.
Your boy did well. Anyway, so.
Your boy did well during Pandora's box. As Zucci Man says, I better hit my free throws like I'm hitting these songs this morning. Don't you worry, Zucci Man. You will be one and done.
Seriously, though, like you asked the question about Klay Thompson, B, and I do think it's a fair one. Like, for me as a longtime Warrior fan, was I frustrated with Klay the last couple years? Of course. Like, a lot of people were. But my whole thing was this. Either if the Warriors are going to ride it out, you ride it out with all three guys.
Yeah, no doubt.
Right? Draymond, Klay, and Steph. And we just sink into the abyss and like, hey, wherever this leads is where it leads. But if you're going to let Klay go, like, we should have been more open-minded or proactive or whatever. Like Dre and Klay should have gone.
Whoa.
Like, cause I think that's where right now there's a disconnect. Well, why is Dre still here and Klay's gone? What? Huh? Like, are we doing the nostalgia, you know, comeback tour, or are we doing the, hey, we're doing everything we can to win now? Just pick the lane. And I think that decision of allowing Klay to go, even though he had control of that, and Dre still being here, they're not connected. It's incongruent.
Well, I thought the year where the Jordan Poole incident happened and you lost in the second round to the L.A. Lakers. And the way you lost to the L.A. Lakers showed me that from a basketball stylistic standpoint, you're going to have to evolve. You can't play the same way that helped you win four championships and expect to win in the future. The league had adjusted.
Mm.
They weren't guarding Draymond Green or Looney in the two big lineup. And it really turned Klay Thompson into a playmaker, which he's not a playmaker. So they try to shift, right? And they go to Chris Paul. But you want to play fast. And you're a small team that wants to play fast. We bring in CP3. He's not going to play fast. He's going to play slow. Slow. Pick and roll. Half court. He's not going to get up and down.
Very slow.
So it kind of contradicts what the style of play. It contradicts what you want to do offensively, what you want to do as a team. So I thought that point, especially when you lost your first series under Steve Kerr in the Western Conference, it was the perfect pivot point. But instead, they re-signed Draymond Green. They trade Jordan Poole for CP3, and you walk in with the disgruntled Klay Thompson after he's coming into a walk year after losing Bob Myers.
Mm.
And you didn't really adjust your style. Instead, you said, boy, we're going to bring Chris Paul in, and we're going to hope that he can close games. We want a finisher, right? Because we're having a tough time finishing games. Well, half those games, you see Chris Paul is on the bench. He's not finishing. So last year became a disaster, not to mention the suspensions by Draymond Green and all the action he missed, 17 games at all. That was the perfect pivot point before last season. It's kind of like Bumgarner. It's so similar. In a way, it's similar to Bumgarner, right? Remember Bumgarner's last year? Everybody's like, you got to trade him. You got to trade him. I'm thinking, that ship has sailed.
Yeah, they
you
wait.
Trade him with 3 months left in the season, you're not going to get much.
Yeah.
The year to trade Madison Bumgarner wasn't 2018. It was 2017.
Yeah.
And you didn't get out ahead of it. And so the same thing is happening right with the Warriors right in front of our very eyes.
It's true.
So you have a good. So now you're in this place where you're stuck, like when you had the Brandons.
Well, you feel like you're in no man's land. And here's the other thing. And I look, people are going to hear this and they might flip out. But I want to be very clear on this. Steph is still awesome. Still awesome. Still one of the better players in the NBA, if not one of the top, 15 guys. He could be one of the top five guys on any given night. Just maybe not as often as he was before. You can't curate everything offensively to just run what highlights what Steph does well.
Yeah.
And I think that there needs to be some softening on that. And I don't think that's an indictment of Steph. It's the reality and being self-aware of where he's at. And then where are all these other players? What kind of system do more players adapt to? I think that there's been a hesitance to... Basically, they want to curate the entire roster to be able to have Steph coming off of 1,000 screens.
Right.
And so you want to have a guy at the top of the key who can facilitate that, the trigger man, if you will, right? For lack of a better term. And so that would be Draymond 9 times out of 10. And then a bunch of guys who are either catch and shoot guys, but primarily screen dirty work guys.
Yeah.
Well, when things get muddied and you've got four guys off ball, all knowing that Steph is going to be running around off screens, and you don't have a Klay Thompson.
And you don't have yet.
Who is honoring these other guys that are setting screens?
Exactly.
And so you've made it more difficult for Steph Curry in the half court, and you're not highlighting what the other guys do really, really well. So to me, there's got to be a philosophical shift here that again, come a little down on all the stuff revolves around Steph. You could still run a lot of stuff for him, but let's also run stuff that complements some of these other players that are going to be coming into the system or guys that you currently have on the team.
Well, that's why Quentin Pulse was such a revelation last week, because he's a stretch five where he screened and Steph gets doubled. He passes it to Pulse. Pulse is ready to shoot.
100%.
He's locked and loaded in the triple threat position, ready to let it fly. Same thing with Guy Santos.
I was just going
to
say
Guy Santos, he's ready to let it fly.
Guy.
Decisive. I thought Pods, when it was 199 yesterday, Moody comes out, hit a three. They go on an 11-2 run. To cap off that run, Pods gets to corner three where they push the ball off the floor. It was a great push. That's playing with pace. Passing ahead. Guy Santos gets the pass ahead, sees Pods in the corner. Boom, Pods was decisive in that corner three. Even though there was a guy coming flying out to the corner, Pods said, I'm shooting this thing. I'm letting it fly. And it was nothing but net.
Yeah.
He's been more decisive since he's come back, and the game looks like it slowed down. But to your point, and to the sets point on 9-2-5, difference between Klay and Buddy, even when Klay was ice cold, he was still drawing double teams because people fear him. And that was kind of the point I was trying to hammer home the last 2 years. Is like, hey, look, I know Klay, what he isn't, and I know what he is. But he's going to draw attention. He's going to draw doubles. People are still petrified from Klay Thompson, and you see him make seven threes in the first quarter the other night for Dallas. Buddy right now is just struggling so much. They're like, go ahead, put the ball on the floor. We're going to let you do what you do. And as Kenny Caraway told us, sometimes he thinks he's Kobe.
Forget Buddy for a second. How many times have you seen GP2 catch the ball on the wing where there is not an inch of, just in the NBA, not a lot of space to do anything. I don't know if you've been paying attention, people. Right. Like, there's just freaks everywhere. Yet GP2, multiple times a half, will catch the ball on the three-point wing. He'll catch, look down, dribble like it's a free throw, have all the time in the world, and still be able to unload a three-point shot. You know why? And it's not. I we love you, GP2. No one is coming out to close out on him. Teams have said, we would rather you make a couple threes wide open than us even pretend to guard you.
Playing the percentages.
Exactly.
Playing the percentages. Right now he's shooting low 20s, teens from the three-point line, so you would sag off of him. And you got a lot of players that teams do sag off of. Waleed and Fremont will get to you on the other side. 888-957-9570. The general question, do you want to go all in on Jimmy Butler? We got some Giants stuff from Larry Bear, because I think people are so down on the Giants right now from what he said the other day on the Morning Rose and how people reacted online to it. Great, go figure. People are complaining online as you're listening to the 95.70 game. KGMG FM in San Francisco. Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. It is a Warriors Wednesday. Brought to you by Freedman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances and live working vignettes. Visit Freedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today. How to get Steph Curry more spacing. How do you do that? Do you swing a big deal? Let's talk about it. Brought to you by Crystal Geyser, Alpine Spring Water.
The more you talk, the more you make me nervous.
Shafty, I know people don't like you.
Dub Nation, it's Quinton Post. You're listening to the Morning Roast with Vonte Hill and Joe Shafty on 95.7 The Game.
Why would you play that? Why would you play that? Who is that? The more you talk, Vonte, the more nervous I get. And Shafty, you know I don't like you. What?
Well, I don't remember the second one. I don't remember the second one, but the first one, I'm pretty sure, was TC.
That was RJ.
Oh, it was RJ. Yeah, I remember you were talking about the Niners, and you
he said, the more
RJ.
I talk, the more he gets nervous. And I was like, well, the more I talk that year, the more they won. They went to the Super Bowl. So I don't know why you get nervous when I talk.
Maybe you're feeling overconfident that day, and RJ read it. I don't know.
RJ, Sacramento, worry about De'Aaron Fox leaving.
Fairfield.
Fairfield, RJ Fairfield, sometimes in Vacaville. What'd I say?
Shout out Cordelia.
Hey, we love RJ, though. He's a good guy.
RJ. That's Sacramento.
I mean, they're better than us right now.
I don't care. They will be better than that for a lot much longer.
Yeah, check back when De'Aaron Fox gets traded in a couple days.
Have fun with Keldon Johnson, Sacramento.
Can I ask you a legitimate question?
What?
If I asked you, you had to put something that you care about on it, okay? I don't know, an amount of money, something.
Put Baby Chaz on it.
No, I don't want to go that dire.
I'm kidding.
Who is closer to, or who would you bet that would be closer to a championship in a relatively short amount of time? The Giants or the Warriors? Forget the Niners. We know the Niners are better than both these teams.
In baseball, you could get hot and lucky. In the playoffs, it's like not uncommon.
Diamondbacks snuck into the playoffs and went on a run.
You can be a four seed and go to the World Series and win it. You can win a World Series with 83 wins in a regular season. We saw the St. Louis Cardinals do that nearly 20 years ago, but they did it. They're both in a bad spot, so I don't know. I don't think they are both in a bad spot. Steph Curry is still with the Warriors, and he's 36 years old. So you have this superstar who's getting older by the day. Dealing with bilateral knee tendonitis. And you're hoping that Jonathan Kuminga is somebody. If not, they're going to move off of him. And then where do you go? But in the NBA, you could get one player, and it could flip everything, and you'll be right back into contention. I don't know about the Giants right now. I don't know what to expect. Larry Bear, we had him on Monday. I don't think he knows what to expect. So I don't know who's closer to a champion. The Giants have the Dodgers in their division, for crying out loud.
If you had to bet who you think would get closer to a championship over the next couple of years, which one would it be?
I wouldn't make the bet. I don't think either of them are going to get close. I wouldn't make the bet. I wouldn't make the bet. That's a losing money. That's a loss. That's a net negative.
So when we all say, like, hey, we want to recalibrate when it comes to the Warriors, we said that before the year started, hey, just making the playoffs would be awesome. I don't think we've calibrated enough.
Well, they still might make the playoffs. They're 46 games in. They're 40. No. Let's do this. This is the NBA.
Okay.
It's 46 games in.
Uh-huh.
I'm not trying to sell you on anything. That's not my job. I'm not trying to be Larry Bear. I'm not selling you I'm not trying to sell you on the Warriors. When I look at the standings, they play Phoenix on Friday night. Phoenix has 21 losses. The Warriors have 23. The Kings have 22. Dallas has 22. The standings and the math is mathing. Still a lot of season left.
So, okay. If the Warriors finish in the top 12, they'll have to win multiple games just to get in as the 8 or 7 seed.
No doubt. No doubt.
It's a lot of ifs.
It's a lot of ifs. A lot of ifs right now. It doesn't look pretty. Doesn't look pretty.
How many more back-to-backs?
Plenty. And also in San Jose, I didn't say anything about going to the playoffs. I didn't say anything about that. All I'm saying is the math is math into where the Warriors are 2 games out of the loss column for the Minnesota T-Wolves for the 7th spot. And they have the tiebreaker. Those are just the facts. I'm sorry that people don't like the facts. But right now it doesn't look pretty. It looks like a dire situation to where they're going to need to swing a deal because guys can't stay on the floor.
Well, they have to get $7 million off their books before the deadline because they have to get under this apron.
Right.
They're over the cap, right?
I think they will.
So they got to, it's at minimum, they have to make one deal. I don't know what it is. They have to make at least one deal, and they have to somehow evaporate $7 million off of their payroll, off their current payroll.
Mm-hmm.
And then looking into next year, if you do that, you get rid of, let's say, a $9 million player, okay? Boom, he's gone. You still have to find a way to create salary cap room to extend Kuminga.
Right.
Right, so this is where, if you want to keep Kuminga, otherwise you lose Kuminga for nothing.
Listen, this thing...
It's very complicated, B.
Well, it could go in one or two different directions. And it may not happen at the deadline, but it could happen as soon as the season's over. They could blow the whole damn thing up. Who the hell knows? But I guarantee you they're working on a direction. For people to think that they don't have a direction, it's because they haven't done anything right now. Like, I think they showed us in the offseason they were trying to go a certain direction, and it didn't work out for them.
Does this sound insane? What if I made an argument? Jimmy Butler's making about 50, okay? I'm going about here. Wiggins and Draymond are making about 50, but they both have multiple years after this year left on their deal. Butler's got the 1 year. Is there an argument to be made? Hey, get rid of the two multi-year contracts, knowing it's a short-term loss and a long-term loss, but I need to clear up my books, and I'm just going to let Jimmy Butler opt in and either try to trade him or just open up a slot. Is there anything to be said for flexibility financially?
You can't do that.
I'm not talking on-court, because on-court you're taking a loss.
Financial flexibility to get back in the mix for potential free agents in the next couple years, guys like De'Aaron Fox, guys like Luka Doncic. Now, I don't think they're going to come here. Luka doesn't play state taxes in Texas, and the Miami Heat, the rumor is now that they're going to try to clear things up for Luka Doncic in a couple years.
Wow.
And try to go make a play for him.
They'll get him in shape.
Maybe if he goes down there. But, you know, financial flexibility, I do. And look, people are not going to like that about the Warriors if they do go that route with financial flexibility, because all of a sudden you're going to get people talk about Joe Lacob being cheap or whatnot. Like, we're just going to forget about him paying luxury tax for all the wins. Like, the guy was paying tax out of his, you know what, over and over and over again. So if they did want to reset the financial flexibility, to have financial flexibility, I would be okay with that. I personally would. I would have patience with the organization to kind of reset this thing because I understand how hard it is in the NBA. And being in the middle of the pack in the NBA, you're in no man's land. You're like the Rockets right now. They're number two in the West. I don't think anybody expects them to win an NBA championship. But they have a young roster with about 5 to 6 players, 22 and under, and they're getting experience.
And they've
Oklahoma
got pieces.
City, and they've got pieces.
Like, if they wanted to move Jalen Green for something or Dylan Brooks for something and attach future picks, they can do that.
Yep, they can do that. Oklahoma City, same thing. Memphis. They're in a great spot.
They are.
Now, Denver's trying to maximize their window with Jokic playing at an elite level, and I think they're going to be in the mix for something. I really do. I think Stan Kroenke would probably try to I think he dipped into the tax or whatnot or apron to try to get another crack at a ring. Because who's playing better than Jokic right now? Like in a 7-game series, Denver's a problem. Denver's back. And they're rolling right now, 73 in their last 10. So the Lakers, they're going to try to maximize the window with AD and LeBron. So how realistic is it for the Warriors to swing the deal? And is that deal Jimmy Butler? Is Jimmy Butler going to catapult the Warriors from 11th place to a top six finish in a Western Conference?
No.
Because if he is, if he's that guy that's going to do that, then you know what? I signed up for the Jimmy Butler experience.
But we've been talking ourselves in circles for weeks, and it feels like that deal is just not materialized.
No, it's not.
And I keep coming back to the thing no one wants to hear, which is you might just want to just mail it in a little. Like, if ever there was, look at next year, we don't know what the draft is going to look like next year. I know this year, and none of these guys are locks, but I know this year, top six, top seven, you're getting. Dude, there are 6'7", 6'8". There's a 6'10 guard out there, all right, a shooting guard, small forward, who would just fit beautifully in the lineup for the Warriors. Cooper Flagg is still, you know, he's out there.
Crème de la crème.
You know, he's out there, obviously. But, like, if you can get into the top seven, you give yourself a 5% chance of getting the number one pick. Yep. And you're locking yourself up for no worse than a top eight pick.
The way you say 5%, like it's 55%.
What is their percentage chance of getting the 16th?
No.
Today, what is it?
You said, hey, they got a 5% chance at the number one
pick. I'm asking you sincerely.
You imagine selling that? No, seriously. This is have a little fun for a second. You imagine selling that to season ticket holders?
No, I'm not selling them anything.
Yo, guys, look here. Look, we're going to take this dig. We're going to blow it up. But as you renew your season tickets, let me just tell you, we've got a 5% chance at the first pick.
Well, that would not be NBA in my draft. Pitch. That would not be in my pitch. But Bonte, selling me on a greater than 5% chance that you'll be a six seed, that's also unrealistic.
Well, here you go, though. At least I think people would rather have the play in than have a take. But look at the teams that are ahead of the Warriors in terms of tanking.
Oh, we did this exercise earlier.
Right. The Utah Jazz, the New Orleans Pelicans, the Portland Trail Blazers, they all have less than 19 wins. Then you look at the Eastern Conference, Philly has 18 wins, the Raptors have 14, the Nets have 14, the Hornets have 12, and the Wizards have 6. And then you think about the teams, the Warriors have 23 wins, well, San Antonio has 20.
And you would think
the Bulls have 20, the Hawks have 22, the Pistons have 23. Yeah.
I think there's an argument. No one wants to hear it. There's an argument to be made of just this is the year. This is the year to kind of just reset and get all the expiring contracts out of here.
Isn't it kind of too late to tank?
What do you mean? You're not going to get one of the top four lottery balls. But
Shask, I don't even know if you can get into the top five of the lottery balls right now. Dude. And that's the lowest needed to drop
We got that bad. We're talking lottery chances right
now. Does the 15th pick do anything for anyone? God. I'm asking you guys.
I'm not saying that, like, that's what they should be going for. I'm just saying, like, and kind of what Bonte said there is their time. Like, even if they tried as hard as they can to lose as many games as possible, 23 wins might be too many wins to where you're probably going to be stuck with that 7th or 8th spot in the lottery. And, you know, that's you could get a top five pick, but it's just that, I don't know. There's a lot that you need to kind of have happen your way that I don't think you can pick on.
I know about Cooper Flagg, and I know about Ace Bailey, Dylan Harper. That's about it. I don't know about any of these prospects right now. But,
and of course, it's a swing. I mean, they've taken swings on other guys, and
right now,
they've missed on a lot of guys.
Right now, the Warriors in the NBADraftNet.com would have the 13th pick.
How does that help them?
And they would take a guy named Thomas Sorber from Georgetown, 6'10", 250, power forward center. There you go.
Hey, that's a big.
Who won't play ahead of GP2?
Come on, leave GP2 alone, man. GP2's fine. GP2's not playing a lot either. He's not playing that much to where he's dictating wins and losses.
You're thinking of TJD. He won't play because of TJD.
Oh, yeah, that's fine, right? TJD's a young player. Now I'm trying to look at this Georgetown guy. Now I'm intrigued because I know Georgetown. I saw a score the other day where they got blown out by St. John's. St. John's kicked their ass, Rick Pitino and company. So I want to see what the Big East. Let's look at the Big East, Shasky. As we look at the standings in college basketball, you better get ready because we had the slam dunk contest where somebody's going to walk away with $20,000. But Georgetown in the Big East, and I'm looking at the Big East standings right now. Where is it at, Big East? Okay, well, Big East is not even coming up. What the hell is going on here? Big East, Big 12. Here it is, Big East. Georgetown, they are 13-8. St. John's is 18-3. Now this Sorber kid, who's in the mock draft. We're talking mock drafts. Oh, look at him. He's having a solid season. 14.5 points, Shasky. 9 rebounds. He's shooting 19% from 3, 51% from the floor. Averages 2 block shots a game. From New Jersey. Freshman. True freshman. Oh, so he's a prospect. Hell of a prospect. Who's raw.
There you go. Know Steve Kerr likes guys.
That wouldn't warm you up at the 13th, 50. You got Sorbet?
No, it doesn't do it.
Georgetown?
Doesn't do
Sorber?
It doesn't do anything.
Thomas Sorber?
I just think that they have one of two options. Either you go the tank route and you take the Hail Mary pass and you just try, or you take this giant swing on something that is completely reckless, that is just for the now. I think standing pat is quite possibly one of the most off-putting to the majority of the fan base decisions you could do.
But you know what? Couldn't the fan realize that we're not going to make a trade just to make a trade? That's how you sink your organization deeper into the abyss.
There are, like, what, 20 home games left?
Yeah.
People want, like, a reason to... They want to know
so
why.
So Jimmy Butler's a reason
I'm
to go to the game?
I'm not saying it's the greatest reason, but, Bonte, at least it's signaling to the people on the fence as to whether they want to go or not. Like, we are invested in this year.
888-957-9570. I want to ask what your
face
right
now. I know he's crazy.
It's fine.
He's crazy.
I'm going to ask you a question. Warrior fans, right now the Warriors are 23-23. If you want them to make a move, and you say, just go ahead and make a reckless trade, and it's Jimmy Butler coming to Chase Center, is Jimmy Butler enough to get you to get your ass off your couch, off your ass, and get to the game? Is Jimmy Butler
bringing
fans to the arena?
Really quick, before we talk about Jimmy Butler, the YouTube poll question of the day is simply, are you in or out on Jimmy Butler? So far, 80% of respondents are out on Jimmy Butler. So that's a small snapshot of where people stand on Jimmy Butler right now.
Look,
so
as you're saying, he's the only, like, people were clinging to him because he's, like, really what's out there. The move that I would be all for, because I think it's a huge swing, and it comes with tremendous risk.
Zach LaVine and Vuk?
No, Zion. Even if we don't know he's available, like, if you're just asking me random, like, who possibly could be available, like, that, I would be in on that. Like, that would be something that I would gut some stuff for and just take a big swing. Like, why not?
I do like this text on the YouTube from San Jose Jazz fan. If Bob Fitzgerald can survive 20 years of losing, so can you, Pate. I'm patient. I'm good. I'm good over here. 4 championships, parades, been to all the parades. I'm straight. I'm good. I got to enjoy the parades in all type of different roles. Shasky, one time I was holding the antenna so the signal could remain in Oakland, California. I was holding the signal on the truck. The other one time I was just chilling on the truck. The other time I got to do some shows. The other time we were doing it right there and Chase Center and I did a parade show from the studio. I'm good over here. I can handle another 5 years of losing. But can you, Warrior fans? Can you?
Well, no.
Can you?
It's not about us. It's you always ask me this question. Can Steph?
Steph is going to be an interesting question. Right now, Steph, I'm going to put him off to the side because he's seeing what's going on right now. And what does Steph want? Does Steph want them? They just told us a couple of weeks ago that they don't want a mortgage in the future. So we got to go by that, right? Steve Kerr and Stephen Curry. We're not just going to mortgage the future just to do it. Well, this organization in a bad spot.
Well, then let me add to that. Well, then are we just maxing Steph out for the remainder of his career?
They just said that. Yeah, probably. I mean,
is that good business? I'm asking sincerely. We know what he's done for the organization. Is that good business?
Yes, it is good business. It's Stephen Curry.
No. For your basketball court, on-court product.
You could build around Steph. He's got great shooting. If you get the right pieces around him, like the stretch five and Quentin Post, yeah, absolutely.
But when you keep having the 13th pick, you would agree it makes it difficult.
Well, you haven't had the 13th pick, really. So, you know.
To me, if you're gonna keep going down the Steph is a max player thing, I think you have to shake things up because this isn't good enough. Like, if that's what we're gonna do, it's one of two. Either he's Kobe with a bunch of young guys, or we'll see where this thing goes.
Now listen,
or we go in on wherever. Like, that's to me, they've only left themselves those two options.
I don't like standing pat. I like trading like the rest of the people. I love trades. I love when the ticker. Oh, so and so's been traded. Yeah. But I'm not a dummy. All right, and over the last year, I did not want them to go all in on Larry Markin, and I sure in the hell didn't want them to go all in on Paul George. Ask Philadelphia how it's working out in Paul George. I was talking to Dubas yesterday. He's like, dude, Paul George might be one and done. Actually, about to blow this whole thing up. So there's that. So, yes, I want to stand. I want to make the right moves.
So light up the Paul George and Embiid rumors again?
No, you can
light
do that.
That up.
No, he can do that. I'm not. No, let's not do that. 35-year-old Paul George. Let's go in on Paul George. Yeah, that's smart. By the way, 95-70 game knockout tournament is back. We're going to talk to Anthony Slater at 8:30. See if we could get him to participate in a knockout tournament at Chase Center March 3rd, which is a Monday. So if you're drinking out on a Sunday, day drinking, or having a lot of fun, you better recover quickly because the knockout tournament is March 3rd on a Monday. Listen in the 8 o'clock hour, 12 p.m. hour, 4 p.m. hour. And at some point between 8 and 8:30 today, we're going to give out the keyword. And then between 8:30 and 9, when you hear the sounder, be the first to call in and give us a keyword. You'll win a spot in the tournament and a chance to shoot hoops on the court at Chase. So let's go to Aaron in San Jose, because he has a theory on Stephen Curry and the Golden State Warriors. Aaron, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Bonte. How are you? How are you, Joe?
I'm good.
Oh, how you doing?
I'm good.
Is this the God?
Well, yes, of course. Come on, man.
It's a Dodger Dolphin fan.
Oh, okay. Well, what's up, bro?
Confusing me.
Hey, guys. I think at this point in the season, it's kind of like just give it up. And you put Steph in a room. And normally I'm not for this, but it's at a point where it's you sit Steph down and ask Steph, what do you want to do to keep you happy to stay here, Steph? You know, because, I mean, you're right, Joe. You can't really – I mean, Bonte, you're really right. There's nothing big to swing on for the last, 20 games. And then it's kind of – you're kind of stuck, and it makes no sense to tank this late. So it's kind of just let's hope Steph ends up happy because, you know, he has that contract extension coming up soon. So let's keep our bread and butter happy.
Just keep him happy. Any other Warrior fans subscribe to that? Keep him happy.
Do you think he hasn't been kept happy lately? Like, isn't that kind of why? I'm not saying that he's the only reason, but you would think that he's had some checks and balances as to why the roster looks the way it does today.
Right. I do want to get into this, Warrior fans, because I'm seeing a lot of it. Like, I get it. If they don't make a move at the deadline, God bless everybody's soul who wants to be patient, and God bless the Warriors organization, because the heat they will get for not making any move at the deadline,
but
it's going to be insane.
But didn't you crush Farhan for not making a move last year at the deadline?
Well, pick a direction.
That's literally what I'm saying.
But the Warriors, by not making a move at the deadline, would tell me that, okay, the direction they're picking is, let's wait to the offseason when there's more options on the table, and then we'll start to make some moves. And we know that a guy like Lauri Markkanen, for example, will be eligible to trade for.
But they've been saying that for two years.
He'll be eligible
years.
To trade for.
I would hear you if this was the first time I've heard that. It's been two full years, wait till the next quote-unquote deadline.
They traded Jordan Poole, for crying out loud. They made moves. They've made trades. Last year at the deadline, can you pull out?
But they had an expiring contract in CP3.
They may not have believed in Brendan Podziemski at the point. They may have thought Chris Paul was still going to be a finisher. Who the hell knows what the hell happened? Who the hell knows? I agree. In hindsight, it doesn't look good at all. Doesn't look good at all.
Well,
but also, you got your
time,
books right.
Either.
But you got your books right. You got your books right.
Well,
I don't think people were clamoring to trade Klay Thompson at the deadline. I think they just wanted to move him to the bench.
No, I think it's more just like they've had opportunities to swing with these expiring deals the last couple of years, and those are just examples of them. They have $32 million in expiring deals right now.
But you also have a Klay Thompson. You got to understand the PR blowback.
Oh no, that
was
a different situation.
You know what I'm saying?
But the CP3 right. $30 million trade exception, I'll never get over that. Because you traded a 23-year-old, stapled a first-round pick to him,
and then
got 40-year-old Chris Paul, who came off the bench after Podziemski in the two closeout games after you spent a full calendar year telling me the reason you got him was for closeout games.
Right, no doubt.
So,
I
was pretty pissed.
Yeah, but,
and then
but
he
also,
goes to free agency, and you can't work a deal. You don't opt in. You lose that slot. You lose all. It was just horrible.
It was all good, but you got your books in order. You got out of that first and second apron.
We got our books in order.
They need that, though. They needed to do that after paying luxury tax for a team that didn't even make the playoffs. That was the most expensive roster in NBA history. NBA history. And they didn't make the playoffs. So you know what? For one time in their lives, Joe Lacob and company, I was cool with them saying, you know what? Fix the books. I was okay with that. I've seen them pay luxury tax every single year. And they paid, that was the most expensive roster in basketball.
But I think
in
where
history,
people fall down.
And they still didn't make the playoffs.
But I think where people fall down is.
And we want to bitch and moan about not spending
or doing things. But there is.
The hell with that? Produce on the court. Somebody play better.
But there is a point to be made of Well, if you're going to spend in the luxury, when you have a bunch of nobodies, don't spend the luxury tax. But you have Steph Curry. So do it for the life of his career. That's the argument. I don't even know if I agree with it, because I don't think I'm a big, does it make dollars and cents? Mm-hmm. If you're not making the playoffs, it doesn't make dollars and cents to me. But I do, I'll listen to that argument, because I get it. If ever there was a time, it's when you have that guy.
Yep. By the way, some breaking news, tough news for Grant Lifvin's Atlanta Hawks. Jalen Johnson will undergo season-ending surgery to repair a shoulder injury. Mm. This young man was averaging 19, 10, and 5 assists for the Hawks this season. 19, 10, and 5. Young player, long, athletic.
What
type of players that we need on this team right now?
They got the number one pick last year. What did they, they finished, what, 8th, 9th worst, 11th worst?
Last year?
Yeah, what were they?
They lost in a play-in, I believe.
So there you go. And they won the lottery, which is so random.
Somebody see.
A little rare, too.
No
doubt.
They were
ninth right now.
I got a question for you guys.
They were 10th last year.
10th? Wow, they went from 10 to 1.
So it's possible.
Well, didn't they have somebody's pick? Or no?
I don't know.
I don't remember.
I don't know.
Go ahead, Loveman.
I just, you know, as we're talking about being patient, what the Warriors do next week, is it a situation where if they don't make a deal, it is just because, like, and they say there was no deal to be made. Like, would you trust that was actually the case? Because you mentioned Farhan, and when Farhan doesn't make a move, and we say, if there wasn't a deal to make. But when Farhan made that excuse, he didn't have that credibility to where it's just like, oh, well, I believe that there was no deal to make. Is that same? It's like for the Warriors here with Mike Dunleavy, if they don't make a trade, and he's like, oh, there's just nothing there that made sense for us. Like, does he have that benefit of the doubt when you'll look at him? It's like, you know what? You're probably right. We got to be patient. Are you looking at him as in like, that's a cop-out. You should have done something.
Well, I know Joe Lacob's in the business too. So it's not just Mike Dunleavy. With Farhan, we knew Farhan was running the whole shebang. If Farhan did something that contradicted everything he said, we're going all in. We believe we have the best pitching staff in baseball. But yet he made moves to trim money off the margins. So he really didn't pick a direction. He just, actually, the direction he picked was, hey, we're just going to stand pat, and I'm going to trade off Jorge Soler, and I'm going to fool everybody and believe that this team is ready to roll and they're going to play better. No. Nothing Farhan's idea did made sense.
Nothing.
He didn't commit to youngsters right away. He didn't give them the long runway. Ask Joey Bart. I mean, how many times has Luciano been yo-yoed and Luis Matos been yo-yoed? Casey Schmidt been yo-yoed? Now, they may not even be good players, but Farhan did not deserve that benefit of the doubt because of the track record that he had.
Okay, so I look at the Warriors. At what point will, I know for some it's already here, but at what point will the equity of the championships and everything not carry over?
It's gone.
To the benefit. You think it's already gone?
Yeah, I think when today's NBA, well, because I understand that the new fan is impatient. How many times have I used a patient word? And even you say, man, I'm not patient.
I'm not patient.
You admit it.
I admit it.
The championships. We got Friedel out here disrespecting the championships, calling it the bonus championship, which I can't get over. Well, bonus championship. What? Now that bothers me, and I like Nick. I like Nick, but
the
it does bother me.
The bonus playing game.
It does bother me when he says that. It's like, damn, just going to discredit the championship? So, for some fans, it's already worn off, unfortunately. That's just the way fandom's working.
I mean, Bonte, we started this show by you telling me the most loud ovation and the most excitement of last night's game was the Hello Kitty bobblehead giveaway.
That's
the Giant Zone, dog.
That is the Giant Zone.
We are literally in the Giant Zone.
We are in the Giant Zone. We've talked about being in the Giant Zone. Now, how do you get out of the Giant Zone? That's the part you got to figure out. The Giants made reckless trades, right? Evan Longoria, reckless trade. I wanted it, but it was reckless. Maybe that's what we want with the Giants.
The reckless trade of Longoria is one thing. I think the more recklessness was the thinking that Crawford and Belt and Posey and the older guys would continue to produce when it was pretty clear that they were on the decline.
Or signing guys like Ross Stripling and Chaminade.
Well, those were after the fact.
Mitch Haniger's. It had failing at free agency. It was Hello Kitty night. It was popping last night at Chase Center. It was popping, man. They went crazy over them dolls. Went crazy. Now, again, Echo Pest Control, I'll ask him, because he says I've been drinking the front office Kool-Aid. I ain't drinking crap, all right? I'm just looking at the situation. What players are available to trade for, and do you really want to trade for those players? Like, we just saw an up-close and personal look at Zach LaVine and Nikola Vucevic. They're so good, they've got 18 wins on the season.
Well,
in the Eastern Conference, for crying out loud. And you could look at the roster and say, man, a roster on paper don't look that bad compared to the Warriors.
But using that argument, it's like saying, well, Steph's so good, the Warriors only have 23 wins.
Right, but we know Steph is 36, and he's struggling right now. And you look at the players around him. I'm just saying, Zach LaVine and Vucevic, you want to trade a lot for them?
I think Zach LaVine would be an upgrade on this team over a lot of guys.
He'd be an upgrade, but how does it look in a Western Conference?
Who cares?
Who cares? What do you mean? You're making a trade. Don't you want to get better? No, that's the point of making a trade.
I'm not worried about comparing myself to these other teams that have been in the playoffs. I'm worried about just making my team better. I think that's the problem. When I talk about risk averse, every move that's out there, people are like, well, it doesn't accomplish X, Y, and Z. Does it make it better? They just need to get better.
I agree. Does that trade make it better? You just said you don't care if it does.
I think it does.
You know, and by getting better, we're talking about being in a play-in, being in the playoffs. Are they good enough to be in the play-in if they make those deals?
I think if you get Zach LaVine for some expiring deals and you throw some future picks in there, absolutely that helps you get better right now. Absolutely. Now, will they accept it? I don't even know.
Let's go to, here's a take. Here's a take. David Frisno has a take. David Frisno, what's happening?
Good morning, fellas. I think in regards to the Warriors, I think before any move is made or what kind of direction they want to go in, they need to ask themselves, do they have the right coach? If a rebuild is an option, because Kerr, you know, he's from that Phil Jackson tree, and Phil Jackson's never really been part of any rebuild. He's always kept vets around him, and, you know, I sense the same thing with Kerr. Where, you know, if you do want to build for the future, I don't know if that's what he wants, you know. And I think part of the problem or the frustration with Warrior fans now is that the reason we're here, they've never really established the young guys. I mean, we still have questions about our lottery picks where we see the talent, but they've been yanked around so many times with these different lineups. It's like we don't know, you know. Like you look at the Pistons, the Rockets. I mean, we knew what time it was. Obviously, they didn't have a Steph on the roster, but they're like, look, we're rebuilding. This is the rotation. We're going to go through the growing pains, and we're gonna watch these guys blossom. With the Warriors, it's been like, well, we're going to play the best this week. Next week, we'll play the rookies. And, you know, it's been kind of all over the place. So, yeah, I mean, right now, it's just they don't really have a clear direction. So it's kind of hard, like, to even discuss trades where – like, what are we doing? Like, is Kaminga the guy or not? Are we going to keep trying to recycle vets? Or are we going to just go straight young? They're like, they kind of tiptoeing in both directions, in my opinion, and that's kind of the frustration. And we have these constant calls and discussions of, like, what to do. It's kind of a mess. You know, they had their chances to kind of make some trades earlier and pivot on different guys, but they kind of blew that. So, yeah, it's going to be an ongoing discussion, man.
Can I ask you, Dave, what trades do they have on the table? I'm just curious.
What was that?
What trades do they have on the table?
In my opinion, I thought they blew an opportunity when they had the second overall pick to maybe trade that for – you know, more established players at the time, you know, because they were still kind of in that mode of going for the championship as opposed to drafting a project, you know, that obviously didn't work out. You know, that's easy to say 2020 hindsight, but at the time, that's what I would have did, trade that pick for, you know, guys that can help you now. That would have been a big pivot moment. I believe they missed, and they squandered it, in my opinion. But
I don't know about that one.
Well, let me ask you this one. So, like, Draymond and Kuminga come back, okay? Who's starting?
What I would do may be different than what the coach would do. Okay. I'll say that.
What are they going to do?
I think Draymond's going to be in the starting line.
Okay. So the direction that you're telling me is that we're trying to recapture the past, right?
Trying to make a run at this thing. That's what they said. They're trying to make a run at this thing.
Again, make a run at this thing.
They're
right?
Trying to say that's what they're telling you.
Right?
That's what they're telling you.
Yeah, and I would say, okay, well, if that's what you're going to do, then you're not committed to the youngsters. The direction that you've chose is to go in that direction. Well, then go all in that direction because – you know, half a foot in, half a foot out. It's going to be year five for Kuminga next year.
Yep.
I don't even know what he's worth.
Yeah,
they don't even know what position they want
him
to play.
Same thing with Moses Moody. I don't even know if Moses Moody, what is his spot?
My biggest letdown this year when it comes to the Golden State Warriors, the biggest letdown this year is that I'm watching Kuminga, and I like Kuminga. I probably like him more than most. And I'm seeing guys from 2, 3, and this year's draft class ago all leapfrog him in terms of their importance within their organization. And we're in year 4 with this guy, and now I know he's out right now, and they're reluctant to put both arms around him. That really stings.
It's not pretty right now.
They're reluctant.
Now, the whole Wiseman thing, Dave, that's what he said. He said with number 2 pick, he could have traded down because the mindset was championship. You got to remember. Was it championship? They just came off a 15-win season.
And Clay was out.
Clay Thompson got hurt the day James Wiseman was drafted.
Yeah. Also, everything on paper said Wiseman was going to be a great player. He was really good at Memphis. Yeah. He was the number 1 pick out of high school.
Exactly.
He was the best prospect.
He flopped.
And he was ascending. Happens. He got hurt, and he never was the same.
And he was the player that they had been looking for 15 years.
Exactly.
15? 20?
Right.
Going back to Weber.
Pick a pop. Go look at his game logs over his rookie year. He was getting better and better and better without even knowing how to play the NBA game.
Before that injury, he was really doing well.
But the mindset was a championship. At that point, it was, we got to get better in a hurry.
Well, and I guess that's my biggest frustration. I don't think that the mindset now should be championship. To me, it should be about gearing up for the next run. And on the next run that the Warriors are going to be on, though people don't want to hear this, Steph's not the best player on the team.
No.
If we're being realistic, Steph's not making max money. Like, that is the most pragmatic, logical way of viewing how you're building this roster for the foreseeable future. But when you say that out loud, it's like, you don't respect Curry. It's like, no, I see that his knees look kind of shot, and I love the guy.
Well, they're not shot, but he has tendonitis in his knees, and he's, you know, when we say shot, I think like, oh boy, he can't move.
No one's saying he's finished. I'm saying him reaching back and carrying and dragging this team
can't do
every
it every night.
Single night, those days are beyond.
He can't do it every night,
yeah,
and that's fine.
So
and
you Steph need Curry, to find the next guy who can.
No doubt, and they're trying to. Trust me, I think they're trying to. It is easier said than done. It's easier said than done in pro sports. It is hard. Like, when Grant left this school, we were talking for a long time before the Hawks game this season. He's like, Bronte, one thing I did not know about this league. This is from Grant Lifman, who's part of the front office of the Atlanta Hawks. People could laugh at Grant, say, oh, this, he done, whatever. Grant Lifman's in the front office. He's working in an NBA front office. And he's not the only guy I've heard this from, but it was very interesting to hear from him, who's been on the outside looking in. Goes, Bronte, it is very hard to make trades. We tried to make a trade for a guy for literally a year and a half. And it finally got done. It is extremely difficult because things change on a day-to-day basis. People get cold feet. People think, oh, you know what? This player just had a good game. Let me sit back. Oh, wait, yesterday's price isn't today's price. I want more. I want this. Wait, you know what? Let me call another team to see what they have to offer for this player. I know they're interested. So, yes, it is hard. Now, Echo Pest Control is out here lying in the YouTube chat talking about, you know, ESPN showed us that the Warriors have never made trades at the deadline or whatnot. Think back to the Kevin Durant years. They made little subtle moves at the deadline.
Waving Omri Caspi.
Right. They made subtle moves.
You're smiling.
Jose Calderon.
Matt
Barnes.
That was hilarious.
But they would sign little guys. They would sign guys to fix the margins. Little things. You didn't have to swing a big deal. You didn't. Now the last 2 years, sure. You want to see them make moves? I get it. We all want to see them make moves now. But the last 2 years have been really the first time during this run to where they really need to look. And by the way, oh, don't forget, didn't they trade for Andrew Wiggins before the deadline? They traded for Andrew Wiggins at the deadline, right?
How did that work out? Themselves out of that D'Angelo deal.
So,
but it was a good deal.
It was a good deal.
Well, that's where I come down on the Wiggins thing. Like, that was a good deal for them. They squeezed the lemon for all it's worth. Wiggs, we got the best 2 months of his entire career. To think that he's ever going to replicate that is probably unrealistic. It is. It's unrealistic.
And that doesn't mean
he's not a good player.
He's playing well.
It just means to think that they're going to recapture that is just that's not going to happen.
Well, they got to get Curry right now because, you know, what's going to happen tonight against Oklahoma City is Lou Dort, Alex Caruso, and they're going to trap the hell out of him over and over and over and over again. So Curry is still the best player on this team, by far and away the best player on this team. And he creates so many looks for it. Ask Quentin Pulse. Ask E. Santos. Ask Moses Moody. He still has that power on the floor. But he's going to need some help here. And what type of help is coming? Well, Kuminga's not going to get reevaluated for another 2 weeks. Another 2 weeks. Sorry, we'll talk more Warriors here. 888-957-9570 is the number. Let's get you an injury report.
It's time for the injury report.
It really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
All right, don't forget, Anthony Slater, 8:30. Stugatz at 9:20 as all guests on 95.7 The Game. If you're on the River Islands guest line, isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? All right, Stephen Curry was absent last night from the Warriors' win over the Utah Jazz to give his knees some rest. He's been dealing with that lateral knee tendonitis this year, as well as a sore right thumb on his shooting hand. He's wearing tape on that shooting hand. Steph Curry's beat up. He needs the All-Star break, but he won't get a break because he's going to be the toast of the town during the All-Star break that'll be happening right here in the Bay Area the next couple weeks. The injury report brought to you by Boxer and Gerson. We all expect Steph Curry to be back on the floor tonight against Oklahoma City. So hopefully he doesn't get injured tonight or re-injure these knees or that thumb. Again, the injury report brought to you by Boxer and Gerson. Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What's good up on the game? Brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. What do you want to see the Warriors do? It's simple. February 6th is coming. What do you want to see the Warriors do? Plus, we'll get back to this Larry Bear sound as well for Monday.
Is this buy or sell?
Buy or sell. Oh, boy. Buy or sell what? Where are we buying and what are we selling? Are you buying Jimmy Butler? Is that what you're doing?